Hi, I'm Huck G, and you're listening to the Master of One podcast. Make sure you go download Battle Tales from the iOS and the Android store ASAP.
Welcome to another episode of the Master of One podcast, the podcast that's trying to make good with Santa before it's too late. Part one this week, we talk about Randy Ortiz, Mario Run, and Star Wars Rogue One. We pick up with Calculated Comics with Kolb, and we hang out around the table with our new friend, Angie Callen. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
We've got a jam-packed show, so make sure you've got your list and you check it twice, because it's time for another episode.
I am not naughty, which is nice.
We like to kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, or noteworthy about our weeks. But this week, we have someone very special to introduce you to. It's our new friend, and you may have heard her a couple weeks ago on our Hot Seat interviews. We met her in the great state of California when we went out for the Reimagine Conference. But we are excited to welcome to the show for our around the table portion this week, Angie Callen to the show. Welcome.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
My dog's just hopped off the couch at the e-clapping.
Where are we going?
So, Angie, just tell everybody who you are again real quick. If they haven't heard the Hot Seat interview, first of all, go and listen to it because it was a good time. And we've heard tons of feedback on that episode, by the way. People said that they just laughed through the entire thing. So even when you were talking about your professional work. So I don't know if that's good or bad for you.
Yeah, I don't either. I listened to it again and laughed through the whole thing a second time as if I had never even heard it. It was pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh. So tell people who you are.
So, Angie Callen, I do a couple different things, three kind of main things, namely, I am the executive director of the Red Brick Center for the Arts, which is Aspen's nonprofit community art center, and I live in Aspen, Colorado, which is probably important to the fact that my husband and I also own a specialty snowboarding company called Bomber Alpine Snowboard Outfitters. BomberOnline.com is our website. And then I also do some entrepreneurship coaching and consulting for budding entrepreneurs, nonprofits who want to embrace entrepreneurship and the like. So
awesome. So we had a great time with you the other day when we were in California. And when we may have even said it on the show, if not on the actual record, like the recorded episode, I know it was like right immediately afterwards, said we need to do this more often and we need to have you back on. And so once the holidays were done, we were like, okay, we got to get her on because it's just been too long. It's been 3 weeks and we're already going through withdrawals. So thanks for joining us for this episode for the around the table portion. So here's typically how the around the table goes. It's where we talk about stuff that's happened in our week, things that are new and exciting in our world, and then maybe things that are coming up over the next week that people need to be aware of. So movie releases, all sorts of things. So why don't we start with Luke and then we'll go to Patrick. We'll circle to you and then I'll close it out so you get a feel for how this whole thing goes.
Perfect.
Great. Okay. All right, Luke, take it away.
All right. So my week, a lot of good stuff. I just got back in the last, 5 hours from taking the wife and kids. We went to this place called Kalahari. That's like an indoor water park in Ohio. We spent just 2 days there, and it was super fun. We did just a whole bunch of swimming, and they have an arcade, and we played. They had bowling and all kinds of stuff, and that was really fun. So we did that.
Wait, can I ask a question about that before you move on from there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've never been to one of these indoor parks because I grew up in Florida.
Right.
And everything is outdoor.
They don't have indoor
and
water
now I live in Texas.
Florida.
You know what? You don't need them. And then in Texas, you don't need them either.
Sure.
So, when I lived in Ohio, I never went to one.
Right.
Are they just like super humid in the winter?
Yeah, that's fair.
There's really no other way to answer it, but yeah.
But you don't, so here's the thing. You don't really notice until you're sitting
humid?
There.
Yeah.
Well, just when you go to, because I've been to indoor pools before.
But it's not that bad. So if you're at the YMCA inside and it's just sticky gross, It's not that. It's
mildly
humid.
Gross.
Yeah, it's just mildly gross.
Because at least here they have a slides where you can like blow yourself off a little.
And they have huge fans up top that are moving the air around and stuff like that. But it is more humid.
Moving the hot chlorinated air around.
Well, yeah, that's fine. It's still moving. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
but it's fun. Like, I mean, if you're in Ohio and it's like 17 degrees and it's cold, you can go in there and have fun and pretend that you're in Florida or Texas and your life isn't terrible. So that's what we did.
It's not the same.
you can pretend like your life isn't terrible.
I use this thing called alcohol.
I don't give my kids that. So
fair enough.
I just live in a place that doesn't suck.
Come on now. You still have snow.
Well, it's like 0 degrees where you are.
Snow sucks.
It was 0 degrees yesterday. We will talk about that when it's my turn.
So other than that, like the only other things, I saw a movie that I'm sure everybody in America has seen by now, but we'll talk about that later.
Except Angie.
I haven't gotten to see
Angie
it yet.
Angie has not seen it yet.
Come on.
You're kidding
me. It's fine. It's fine. I got two things in the mail. One from...
Only two?
No, that's not true. I got a whole bunch of stuff in the mail. I got a whole bunch of parts for my computer. It's almost done. Super awesome. But I got a present from our friend and a guy in the Slack channel, Ryan Davis. He sent me something for Christmas. He sent me a whole collection of stickers, so some rad stuff that he does. And this is one of them. It's so good, right?
Oh, I didn't get that one.
Let me stop real quick because I know you got this. I know Andrew got this, and I know that I'm getting something from Ryan, and I'm super excited about it. The dude is... Gosh, so nice. Really appreciate it. Does crazy good work. Earlier this year, he sent me stickers to distribute to everyone. I use them all and put them on my laptop case. So
yeah, you're a jerk.
I was going I was going to buy you rye bread stickers to make up for it. Mm. Thankfully, he just sent you new ones. So I don't have to.
Cool. You
so,
still need to make up for it because I didn't know. Now I know. So you still got to make up for it. Anyway, so
Andrew, what you'll find is the this portion of the show is where we just air all of our grievances.
Yes,
the
whole show is where we air grievances. I like it.
We end up hating each other during this portion.
Look, he sent three three
is that
buttons.
A pizza pin?
Three buttons.
Where?
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah, it's a pizza monster, and then
the
coffee
one is incredible,
and the donut cop. It's so good. They're buttons.
Donut cop
is
my favorite.
And it's
listen,
a pink donut
listen,
cop.
As being like a recovering scene kid. Buttons are pins are the OG pins for all of you people that love pins now.
That is
buttons
correct.
Are where it started, and buttons are forever. But he also sent me this.
Oh,
that
is patch? That a patch?
It's a patch.
Is that a patch?
It's so
Bro.
Good.
Okay,
is that a tabletop fryer? What
I don't
that?
Have one of those. That's
is that a
stupid
tabletop?
Good.
It's the, yeah, that's the
it's
that's the cornballer.
The proton. It's the it's the trap,
mother of
the ghost trap. from Ghostbusters. So he sent me a note. He said, Luke wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I know you're a huge Ghostbusters fan, so I got you this cool patch. And it's awesome. So it's super cool. It's by Nega Midas. It's the same people that did the amazing Artie pin that I showed you guys earlier. But they do super cool stuff, and so he got
but don't
me that.
You don't you have their Ghost Trap pin,
I do
too?
Have the Ghost Trap pin,
okay.
Yeah, and so this
I was
gonna
is say,
the patch
I feel like I've
of
seen
it.
That.
And it's
That's
it's awesome.
Awesome,
so thank you, Ryan. And then the other thing I got was my Secret Santa gift from the Secret Santa thing that we did. My person was Diane Gibbs from Design Recharge, and she sent me a couple, like, notebooks, the rechargingyou.com
sweet.
Notebooks. Go ahead.
We were saying that's sweet. We're affirming.
Oh, I thought you said wait. Sorry. I thought you said wait.
100% affirmation. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then she sent me a card. It was super nice. And she wrote a little bit in there. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it was super nice. And then she drew this picture for me. It's it says, I don't know if you can see it because of my light. It says the gulls.
Oh.
And she drew us all as birds.
Oh,
and
that's fun.
So in the card, she said, I found a picture of you and your family on your Instagram, and I decided to use that as my reference for the bird picture. And so she drew us all as birds, and it's super awesome. So
I love that the beak is like black, so it looks like your beard hair.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's, and she drew, that's, and so fun. You can see the, it has like a little, like a little tiny beard around the bottom of it.
Oh my gosh.
It's super awesome.
Good job, Diane.
She did such a good job. She killed it.
Yeah, it's super awesome.
Does it say galls as birds?
Yeah,
like,
the
is
galls
this tiny?
As birds. Yeah.
Just in case you didn't know.
Awesome. That's funny.
But it's super great. So I got those things in the mail, and then I got something else that I'll talk about later.
I don't think you can ever meet anyone as positive as Diane Gibbs.
Oh, she's
Gibbs.
The best.
As Diane Gibbs.
So,
oh,
yeah,
she is amazing.
If you guys haven't checked her out, we've had her on the show. Design Recharge, just search it and you'll find her stuff, and she's just awesome.
She's amazing.
But that's it. So Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So my week, prints. So this is the end of the year. A lot of people are doing mystery tube sales, things like that. I've actually kind of held off on buying things. I know I have some cool things coming. My package from Rye Bread, I think, is sitting down at my apartment post office right now. So
that
I won't
be
get
anywhere
that till
now.
The saga.
Yeah,
the saga continues.
Anyone could have it, so that's exciting. I know a couple of other things that are coming, but I am excited. I'm going to move my webcam for you. I did get a couple things. So number one, remember we talked to Arsenal Handicraft?
Yeah.
So I finally got my Arsenal Handicraft print, which is very exciting.
Good, right?
This is upside down because that's perfect. Also, this from Hero Complex Gallery, my Kylo Ren.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, what? How did you
Can
get
you turn that?
Did
the
you
right
buy
way?
It?
I want to see.
No, no, this is Mystery Tube right here.
Oh, that's so, Mystery Tube. Dude, I love that.
This one is killer. This is actually, I think, like a scratch and dent. It's got a slight line up the middle, but you just really can't tell it. And in a frame, you won't either. I also got this Watchmen print right here.
I was wondering
here.
If that was Watchmen.
Oh, that's good.
It looks stupid.
Do you know
cool.
who the artists are of these things?
Oh, I could probably look, but I'm being a little lazy right now. So
okay.
I can. I mean,
Where
I can
did you get these all from?
This is, so Hero Complex Gallery did a mystery tube, and what they did is they just said, I'm trying to remember the price, I don't remember if it was $30, $50, whatever it was, but you just paid one price and they were going to send you a few prints, and these are the prints that I got in.
I wonder if they have Ship by Christmas still available.
It's going to be a little late. This is Rocky.
Oh, cool.
And then the final one is... The final one is the Raven, which is over there. So, which is up.
Nevermore.
No offense. It's not a property.
Can I,
go
but
ahead,
can
yeah.
I see the Raven? Can I see it? Because
yeah,
I
yeah.
love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, this is.
Oh, I love that.
That's
Who
cool.
did it?
That's so cool.
I love
well,
that.
They're all
so
different
much.
Artists, probably, right?
Yeah.
Man, those are all different artists.
I'm meeting the guy's name, but I can't like tell. It's Chicken Scratch. I can't tell what it says. It's Raven
okay.
Scratch. So.
Raven Scratch.
Just accept it. Just accept
That's
it. So, anyway,
that sounds like it's my joke.
That bad, really? let me just really apologize for what I just said. I'm sorry to all of our listeners that we just lost. So that was part of it. The other part of it is I did the Reddit Secret Santa. I think this is my third or fourth year doing Secret Santa through Reddit, and it's the Guinness World Record largest Secret Santa. And it's a little bit of, there's a lot of people that do it because, like, people like Bill Gates participate, and I think they hope they get someone like that. So there's a lot of people
did
that kind of
Did you get Bill Gates?
No, I did not get Bill Gates. But you can
did
look
you get
up
Ryan
what
Gosling?
Also did not get
that
Ryan
would be
Gosling.
Even more awesome.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't get anybody like that. But a lot of people phone it in, but... My person that did mine
like call
was,
you and say, hey, I got you in Secret Santa. A Merry Christmas.
Here's your gift.
Do they not listen to the rules you're not supposed to tell people?
Absolutely. So I need to maybe first let me say this. My Secret Santa was very intentional and tried to do things that I would like. So first of all, positive. Number two, there were a couple really good gifts. So for instance, I got the Ollie Moss Silhouettes book. Have you all seen that before?
Oh no.
So what Ollie Moss did, and I'm just realizing now that I laid it on my kitchen counter and it's too far away for me to grab. So you're just going to have to listen to me describe it or just Google it. But
we're
going to
get like what the listeners get.
Yeah, nothing. So what Ollie Moss did is Ollie Moss drew like over, I think over 300 silhouettes of like pop culture icons.
Yeah.
This is everything from, I mean, like Muppet characters to like Sid and Nancy to
Boba Fett, you know, there's Star Wars,
TMNT, or exactly, like it's just all over the board. Mm-hmm. And then what he did is from these 300 silhouettes that he drew, he kind of weeded it down to the best ones and he put them in a book. And it's literally like the Ollie Moss, like pop culture silhouettes book. Okay. And a really, really cool stuff. In fact,
oh, it's Gallery 1988 is where they had the show.
I believe he did a whole showing, and out of that kind of came the book of these. Exactly. So, and in fact, if you read the foreword to the book, the foreword actually mentions the Gallery 1988 show. So, just some amazing pieces in there. It's kind of fun to flip through and like try to kind of guess what all of them are. But so well done. And what I've seen some people do, for instance, I've seen someone that actually takes the book, cuts the pages out, and like frames all the pages. Like, it looks really, really cool. So, the book is pretty inexpensive, 12, 13, 14 bucks, something like that, but very, very cool. And then in the scheme of being minimalistic, very much so, it's a single color and it's a silhouette, and it's incredible how just like spot on these likenesses are. Very well done. I also got an Art of War Dunny. That's another one of the gifts my Reddit Secret Santa
that's
gave
cool.
It. The same one that I traded to Andrew. It's the one
I was
that
say, I have that sitting on my shelf right behind me.
Because I think we bought like a case together or something like that and split it up. And then I traded this for something after I broke the mask. I got one of those. Now, the rest of the stuff I got was like Funko toys.
That's cool.
So it's fine. I don't want to sound negative. It's not the thing that I'm into. I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, we've said it on the show before. Funko is like the entry point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you've moved beyond the what I would consider to be the gateway or the lowest common denominator of designer toys.
But when you think about the fact that some stranger is like shopping for me, that's pretty amazing.
That's cool.
So
yeah.
So
exactly.
big thank you, huge deal. The silhouettes book is incredible. Dig the art of the Art of Woy. Woy, that's great. The Art of War, like, you know, Dunny, that's awesome. The other stuff is fine, but more importantly, just the effort put into it. So between that, like I said, I've got a couple packages sitting at the post office. I hate I didn't get them yet, so I'll just have to save them for next week. And then beyond that, the last piece of my week is going to get talked about a little bit later in my master category. So we will go ahead and throw it. Oh my gosh, I think we're going to throw it to Angie so Angie can talk about what she's been doing this week.
Well, I don't have any props. I don't have any... deep fryer badges.
Okay. It's okay. You'll get used to it. You'll start buying a lot more stuff just to show during this segment.
Yeah. I didn't get any angry bunny figurines in my Reddit. Secret Santa that I'm not part of. But it's been a fun week. Last week, is that a naked doll?
Yeah, collect these.
Oh, you collect naked dolls. I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
It's Enchantress from Suicide Squad. It's the Funko. But I agree, it's somewhat nude colored.
Yeah, you guys get me at a level of nerd with the toy thing that I'm never going to compete with. But
don't sell yourself short. Yeah. We'll get you there. This is day one, Angie.
Day one, exactly. Come on. So we've had a very exciting week around here. This is why we have not seen Rogue One yet. Last Saturday was my birthday. And then this past Saturday was Jim's birthday, my husband. And so we've had lots going on for that. And had a nice 22-inch powder day on Saturday. So we hit the hill and shredded some POW. It was one of the best powder days. Top five.
Prisoners of war. Okay.
Prisoners of war. Well, you would feel like a prisoner of war on a 20-inch powder day, I can guarantee you.
Absolutely.
And so we were busy doing that and preparing Christmas gifts. We're homemaking all of our Christmas gifts this year. So between all of that, we didn't have enough time to go see Rogue One because the big thing we did was go to Loveland Ski Resort yesterday and do an on-snow demo day for Bomber.
Ooh.
It was a balmy -5 degrees.
Ugh.
But at least, and windy.
You are so
windy,
negative.
But at least it was sunny. And that was kind of the excitement of the week. And
that legitimately does make a big difference, though. The sun makes a world of difference.
Oh, yeah, because until it got to be, and for, you know, any of the listeners who've actually ever been to Loveland, it's a basin, and it's on the top of the Continental Divide. So it's along I-70 I-70 here in Colorado. It is it's on top of the Eisenhower Johnson tunnels, which are the tunnels that go through a giant mountain on I-70 over the Continental Divide. And yeah. So the base area is at like 12,000 feet above sea level. So it's butt-numbingly cold even when it's warm.
Butt-numbingly.
Yeah. And and so, but it's a basin. So it takes like 3 or 4 hours for the sun to really hit you. So until about 11 o'clock, we just had to take turns every 15 minutes going inside because it was butt-numbingly cold.
Warming each other's butts.
That sounds terrible.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie. That just sounds bad.
You know, it was one step above our demo week last year in Vermont where it was 35 and pouring down rain the whole week. This was a little bit better.
Yeah, that would be.
See,
yeah,
I,
that
yeah, would be see that's miserable.
It thunderstormed in February, third week of February, and it like downpoured thunderstorm okay. and lightning.
I know July. Very well about question. Snow sports, but I know rain is bad.
It rains bad.
So I'm,
it melts
I'm,
snow.
Angie, you've met me. You know that I'm not a small guy. Additionally, neither are any of us.
I am not a small man.
I'm curious if I was to strap on snowboard skis, any of these apparati, and stand on the snow, would I sink or would I actually slide down?
Well, if we go into the, let me remember physics, momentum, energy, weight, whatever that whole thing is, you would go down the hill.
There's
you would
a
actually
lot of
go
the
down the hill
involved.
Pretty fast.
Okay.
Now, if it was a 20-inch powder day, you'd probably sink, and I would laugh. But on a regular day, you would go downhill.
Okay.
I had a friend who literally who lives in Colorado, and she just went snowshoeing for the first time yesterday. And I said, so she was explaining it. I'm like, so is it essentially just walking around in the snow? And she's like, yeah, essentially. And then when I talked to her later in the day, she's like, it's not just walking around in the snow. She's like, I'm exhausted because the snow is like multiple feet deep where they go. It's like up in the woods and everything. And she's like, I am just completely beat. Oh, man.
Snowshoeing is like walking around in deep snow with tennis rackets on your feet.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, I think that's what they used to be like in the 1800s. But I only like to snowboard in the winter because that's what ski lifts are for.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
I ride up, I go down.
That makes sense.
I only go uphill of my own free will in the summer during hiking season. Mm. Even when I bike, I don't really like to go uphill. I like flat things. I'm a fair weather outdoor
Isn't
person.
Is there really much flat things where you live for biking?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I wouldn't really call myself a fair weather outdoor person if it's you know, what you just described with your first outing. So
I know.
I was going to say, fair weather outdoor person is not someone who typically resides in Aspen.
That's from Texas.
No, I guess not.
That's what I am. Yeah.
That's okay. Someday I'll give you guys video of us up paddleboarding Class 3 Rapids. That's the fun stuff in the summertime.
Well, someday you'll just take us.
Yeah.
When we come there for the MF1 retreat. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Done.
We already got this thing working out. So
yeah, you might want to come in the summer just so you don't sink in the snow.
Yeah.
We'll sink in the river. Angel,
yeah.
So. We'll sink in the river and die.
Exactly. You know, this week we are looking for, we're going to go see Rogue One. We're really busy right now with orders and snowboard stuff.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a good season right now.
Yeah. This is the start to the peak of our season, and we just got all of our, we manufacture some products. We manufacture bindings and some other stuff, and we finally just got it all in. So we're shipping large boxes to Japan and things like that right now. But Rogue One is on the agenda for the week. So I'm glad I won't be around for the spoilers. And
yes, yeah.
Of course, Christmas is coming, and cooking a giant meal for like 20 people is on the agenda. So,
that's many people.
Do you guys have a lot of people to the house? Like a lot of family? Is family around that area?
No, we don't have any family here. We only have friends.
Okay.
And so my family is in Pittsburgh, not too far from you.
Oh yeah.
And Jim's family is in Syracuse, New York, where it snows more than it does here.
Yep.
And so we have like all the kind of like orphan Christmas. Everybody who doesn't go home and sticks around here, we go ski in the morning and then we eat a bunch of food in the evening.
Cool. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time. Over the course of our relationship, I will divulge more and more information about the ebbs and flows of my skiing and snow situations. But for now, we'll just leave it there. And man. Well, so here's the deal. So I have had several fantastic male days from our fantastic community.
How are your female days?
They're
few and far
okay.
between. They're way not more as, male days.
They're not as few and far between as I would hope, honestly. No, but the but you guys, our audience and our community are amazing. And I've gotten so many happy mail days, surprise mail days from people that it's just been, it's been incredible. But I only have time to talk about like one or two things right now. So I also got stuff from Ryan Davis, same pack that Luke got, minus a couple things and with an addition of a couple other things. Super fun, super cool. There was a note in there. It was very nice. The dude is just a stand-up guy. But I got this... So there's an artist and his name, he goes by Ape Meets Girl, but his name is Kevin Wilson. He's in the Slack community. But he is just this amazing artist, does incredible work. He's all on the other side of the pond. He's across the pond. He's in the UK. But he, his most recent work is, you would have seen, is the Civil War, like the Marvel, Avengers Civil War. There's like a 3-part poster series that he did, like the license work for. And it's insanely cool. But there's this piece that he did a while back, in conjunction with Hero Complex Gallery, out in California. And, it's of The Incredibles. And if you've listened to the show at all, you know that I'm a huge fan of The Incredibles. Our family loves that movie. And I had asked him a while back, I had reached out to him when I had first seen this print and asked him if he had any. And he said that they, I mean, they sold out like right away through HCG. And, I asked him, he said the only one he had was his personal one that he has hung up. And he said, but I'll keep my eye out. And I said, great, that'd be awesome. And every time I reach out to somebody, it's always like, hey, do you have one of these that I can buy from you? Right. I'm never reaching out to somebody saying, hey, can I have whatever, right? That's not how we roll around here. And so I reached out to him about that. And this was probably, oh my gosh, probably 5 or 6 months ago. Long enough ago that I had forgotten about it, honestly, on some levels. Until the other day, he just pops up on the Slack channel and says, hey, Andrew, you out there? And I'm like, yeah, I'm here. What's up? And he's like, hey, I think I may have found something for you. Winky face. And I'm like, no way. Like, no way. So what happened was... the HCG, so Adam Smasher, the curator at Hero Complex Gallery, reached out to Kevin. He is a rad dude. Reached out to Kevin and said, hey, was going through the archives. I have an archived version of your print, your Incredibles print. Do you want me to send it to you? So it's like a one of one. It's a pressed archived print, which means, on the two bottom corners, it has a seal that's, you know, like letter pressed into the, or it's embossed into the print that says archive. And he said, do you want this? I can send it to you. And he said, no, I'll tell you what, send it to Andrew. And within a couple of days, I get this thing in the mail, and he was totally free, totally took care of me. And, I have this amazing Incredibles print that is aptly named because it is so detailed. It is so amazing. If you haven't seen it, look it up. Look up Ape Meets Girl, Incredibles print. It's 24 by 36. I'm actually taking down one of my Ninja Turtle prints, to put it up in its place so that I can look at it. Which means something to people who listen to the show.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
It's going to go right above the desk. I'm going to be staring at it every time I podcast. It will be a reminder to me that people are amazing. There are talented people who are incredibly generous, and I'm so grateful for the community that we have. But anyway, go check out his work. It's amazing. We will have him on the show probably sometime in the early year. We were trying to get it to happen before the end of the year, especially in conjunction with all this, but I think he's buying a new house or moving into a new house or something.
Well, that's cool.
So we couldn't work it out. That, and he's like a 6-hour different time difference for us or like something like that. So, so there was that. I also went and saw Rogue One, which we'll talk about later, but got the Mondo, Tiki's Gremlin ceramic mug.
Oh, cool.
At Alamo Draft House. It's a Draft House exclusive. So fun. It's, you know, Mondo continues to push what they do, and we love what they do, and it's super, super fun. So anyway, that's it for our Around the Table. A huge thanks to Angie for joining us for this. And, if you liked it, let us know. Let us know, you know, what you liked about Angie. I don't know where I was going with that.
You can still tell us that. We just won't tell her. It's fine.
Yeah. Just tell us, you know, without her seeing it. Maybe don't do it publicly. no, but, Thanks for joining us, adding a different element to the show. Finally, maybe bringing some actual legitimate
athleticism.
Yeah, exactly. You represent all of the athleticism on the show, and you are but 1/4 of it. So, thanks for joining us and for having a good time with us. And tell everybody where they can find you and follow you on social media and your products and stuff.
Sure. Bomber, what I talked about earlier, bomberonline.com is our snowboard site. We're Bomber Outfitters on social media. And then if you want to learn more about me personally and the coaching, consulting, entrepreneurship kind of stuff, AngieCallen.com and AngieCallen now on Instagram and Facebook.
You've got a good looking website, by the way. I just wanted
to
say that.
I built it myself, so I appreciate that.
Oh, man. So we have more to even talk about with that. All right. Yeah. Well, that's it for our Around the Table. Up next, Calculated Comics with Kolb. So every month we are joined by our friend from the North, Mr. Andrew Kolb, for his segment that we lovingly call Calculated Comics with Kolb. So yes. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, welcome back Andrew to the show.
All right.
I'm so excited for this.
Hello, thanks, friends.
It's like properly cold there right now, isn't it?
It sure is, yeah. For the audio listeners, you can't see that my hair is frosted white with the snow from...
Oh, I just thought those were like awesome frosted tips from the 90s.
It's like a little bit A and B.
Like Zach Morris style. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, it's 25 degrees in Texas right now. That's way too cold
for Texas.
Did
everything shut down?
No, everything's fine because there's not snow causing us to be dead. So it's still fine, but it's just freezing. I mean, it's below freezing. So that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about comics. Andrew, sure. You take it away. You know what to do.
Okay, well, so I'm going to need someone to give me a number, either 1, 2, or 3. Great. 3.
1.
Excellent. And Luke, wrap it up.
1.
Three, is that one, new? One. I feel like that's a new combination.
Yes, that's definitely new. Yes. 3-1-1. Ooh, great. Okay. So I think we've definitely talked about a couple of Batman comics before, and I'm sure this will not be the last. But 3-1-1 is a small kind of, I think it's 4-part series. So a graphic novel called Batman Turning Points. And basically what it is it's kind of the story of Commissioner Gordon and Batman's relationship through their kind of career. So it takes major kind of comic book events like Batman Year One and Nightfall and The Killing Joke and kind of all these kind of pivotal moments in the canon of Batman.
Yeah.
And kind of looks at how it affected their relationship and how they kind of grew from that point. Mm. So yeah, that's the basic premise. So it's like the greatest love story ever told.
How it affects which characters? I'm sorry. I must have missed the...
No, how it affects Batman and Commissioner Gordon.
Okay, Commissioner Gordon. That was the...
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So like on the cover, if you look it up, it's kind of got... It mostly focuses on Commissioner Gordon. There's obviously also Batman on the cover.
Sure.
But yeah, it's about their kind of bromance over their career.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So this is kind of the first... comic that you've brought really to this deal that's not more of a folksy or kind of niche style comic. This is more mainstream.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is a
DC
comic that people know.
Yeah, I mean, like I think we talked about the Judas coin with Batman. Yeah. Yep. In a like a previous rendition.
But even that though is still a little bit of like an insider version of Batman versus this,
right.
Which is like it's like mainstream Batman, at least.
Yeah,
what it looks
and
like.
Actually, so with that, I think that's a perfect segue, because I think the big thing about this is I think it was a great comic, and I think it told a kind of a fulfilling story through the kind of years of Batman. But I think it's most enjoyed if you have at least a cursory knowledge of most of these kind of big like tentpole comics in Batman's world. Like if you haven't read Nightfall or if you haven't read The Killing Joke or Year One, I think a lot of that is lost on the reader. But if you have, then I think it's a great way to kind of, or it is a great story that brings all these events together and tells kind of one kind of big story or kind of generations long story.
I'm curious if, because actually the point you just made, Andrew, is something that I was wondering myself. Do you purposely look for more obscure, or do you purposely try to avoid kind of what's more Are you a hipster about this? That's what I'm trying to find out. Or...
No, I think what it is I think I don't pull like comics regularly. Like I don't read like singles because I think I like complete stories. So I find I read just the graphic novels, or I find like compiled collections of the full story. So I think because of that, I don't know like what the ongoing story is with Batman or with Spider-Man or the kind of the mainstream comics. So what I tend to do is find the, yeah, like the kind of collected novel or graphic novels. And I think because of that, that's where I tend to go more niche. Cause I think that tends to be, like off mic, Andrew and I were talking about Headlopper. Like I think it's, the stories that are kind of designed with a complete narrative in mind that is what I kind of go towards. That was a big ramble. Basically, yeah, I guess I'm a hipster. Well, I guess that's what it is.
But it almost sounds like you were saying that maybe that the bigger, like longer, it's overwhelming. Like there's too much information out there. You need something that's manageable.
Yeah, I also try to find something that is easily collected. Like I think if they, like I think it's just harder for me to keep track of the trades for the ongoing series. Whereas the kind of shorter stories are pretty concise. Like I can just pay $20 and get the whole story, and then that's it.
So on this run, I'm looking at it on DC's site, DCComics.com, and it says starring, and it has this list of people. So it obviously has Batman, Commissioner Gordon, it has Alfred and Robin, and then Harvey Bullock. But then it has Bane, Joker, Killer Croc, and Two-Face, and Mr. Freeze. So is it kind of like, as you see the story arc of him and Gordon's relationship, is it kind of like highlights of these like main villains too, and like how they pertain to that story?
Yeah, like I think they are really taking a secondary role. Like I think the main characters are definitely Gordon and Batman. Maybe like Alfred, like maybe some of the Bat family, but it's I would say 99% focusing on their relationship through their kind of highs and lows.
Okay.
And all the other kind of characters that appear are almost like set dressing just to kind of give them a reason to be talking to each other.
Gotcha.
So they catch Mr. Freeze and they're talking about something else while they're kind of begging and tagging him. I don't know if that's the term, but like processing him for, yeah.
So I'm not going to say this is the first thing that you've said that sounds interesting. Everybody knows... like it's common knowledge that I can't read, and but like what you're talking about, like the story kind of alongside or behind the story. So while all these arguably like more important or bigger things are going on, just hearing about the you know this kind of sideline relationship, that sounds really interesting to me. Like I'm really into the idea of this. This is cool.
Oh, great. Well, I mean, like, so Patrick, have you read some of those other Batman stories, like Batman Year One or...
Oh, I just don't read. That's...
great.
Like, okay. I've seen but that's like the extent for me.
So I think you'd still get something out of it, but I feel like that subtext is more enjoyed, or I think you'll get more out of it if you read the other comics first. Like, I almost feel like this is a sequel or kind of like the... I don't know what a good analogy is for it, but it's kind of like, oh, it's like the supplemental, like Star Wars books that give you like the deeper kind of backstory.
Yeah.
So I think you can enjoy it on its own right, but I think you get more out of it if you've read kind of the other main, milestone books for Batman.
Yeah. I have managed to pick up, so Batman's like one of the only mainstream, comics that I actually like kind of follow. I don't stay with it. I'm not like subscribed to it, but I'll pick up the trades every now and again. And, you know, things like, Dark Knight and whatever Dark Knight Rises or whatever the comic version of that is. Oh my gosh, what's the one where he, I'm totally blanking, but there's several of like the, Hush. Hush is an incredible story arc for Batman, and just like the twist and the spoil, you know, whatever the twist that happens in that book is amazing. So I love all of these books that kind of connect larger stories. And, you know, we'll be talking in this episode about Star Wars and Rogue One and how that did some of that and how it pieced together all these different pieces and made it kind of a bridge movie. It sounds like this book is like a bridge book.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So, okay. So tell everybody where they can find you and your, well, do you have any, so we always do this,
sure.
But we forget to ask you or we fail to ask you, if you have anything coming out that we need to be aware of.
Oh, I mean, my next picture book is coming out in the fall of 2017. My first book, Edmund Unravels, is still out. But yeah, don't worry about it. I'll like be super aggressive with plugs when I have something right on the horizon.
I just need to publicly apologize because I bought a couple things from your shop and they're incredible. And I talked about on the show, I made the comment on the show that... I forgot to put in your 50% off code that you had, and like, stupid me, whatever, not a big deal. And genuinely, like, I wasn't worried about it. It was just like, oh, that was there and I didn't use it. Now McKinsey and I can't buy our house for another, 6 months. Just kidding. It's not like that. But
you bought so much artwork.
Wow, and then you refunded the money. That was,
or he has a really terrible house that they want to buy.
That was not very smart of you, but it was very kind of you, and I appreciate it. It was your money to keep, but you gave it back to me, so thank you. But I feel bad.
Oh, I mean, like, the sale was there for a reason, and admittedly, it was my mistake for not kind of catching it. Like, I think everybody had been pretty consistently putting in the discount code that I think I just assumed everyone was using it. So if I would have been paying more attention, then I would have caught it quicker, and then it would have been resolved well before the episode.
Well, the prints are great. Like, I showed them to McKinsey. I saw them on Instagram. Probably a day or two, I think, before you announced the sale. And yeah. I showed them to her, and she was really excited about them. So I had planned on going on and checking on them. I didn't realize how limited they were. And then I saw the sale, and then that was extra initiative to, like, okay, I need to go and grab these. And I'm glad I did, because I think that you only had 10 of each, right?
Yeah, I think I maybe have, like, one or two left now. I try not to print too many, because I'd rather everyone get the ones they want before they... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
I just doing
no reason to hold on to merchandise.
You know, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just going to say, tell everybody where they can find your work so that they can buy things from you.
Oh, sure. I mean, like, so my main website, kolbizneat.com or kolbizneat, wherever social media platform you're at, will eventually direct you to my shop, which is store.kolbizneat.com. But there you go. Unfortunately, the sale is over now because I'm certainly not getting orders out to people before Christmas. But I think a lot of people kind of did their holiday shopping using that sale. So I'm definitely going to be doing it next year. So check back December 2017. We'll cover it again.
So you got some December 2017.
Keep buying stuff even without a sale. Just do that.
And fall of 2017. Cole has all sorts of action going on. So but it's all packed into the end of every year.
But so his store is still open January of 2017.
Just check his stuff out.
Don't worry about that.
No reason to look into him whatsoever.
I feel like
until
you guys
next
are doing
September.
This wrong.
Yeah,
Andrew Cole.
It's Peter Pan in 8 months of silence.
That's awesome, man. Anyway. Well, thanks for bringing the goods as always, and we will talk to you again soon. Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Up next, Master Categories. Every week we talk about the tokens we drew the week before, which are what give us the categories, and we pick topics based on those categories. So, Luke, why don't you start us off? What token did you have?
I had art and design, which is, as everyone knows, the thing that I should never have to get.
Don't be modest.
It's not modesty. It's just truth.
He's just complaining.
I meant take off your shirt.
I'm a dumb. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I already feel bad about myself, so let's not go there. So I got something that I've been eyeing for a long time, and I just finally, it's like one of those things that you see and you're like, man, I really want that, and it never, like, either
it just never works out.
I see it on, like, and I don't have time to, like, go through the purchase thing, or I just don't have the money or something or whatever. But it's this, I got this print by Randy Ortiz, and it's through Inforama. It's called Mythical Monsters of the Past, and it's a screen print he did. It's a run of 200. There's still some available. It's an 18 by 24, and it's these. There is 12 little depictions of these monsters, like a minotaur, a cyclops, a kraken, a basilisk, a Baba Yaga, a lich, a troll, an orc, or an ogre, a Medusa, a satyr, a hydra, and a geist. And it's these, like, really kind of, like, I mean, it's Randy Ortiz, so it's very, very, like, detailed, like, pencil drawing illustration of these, like, mythical creatures. Very simple layout. It's just, like, you know, little circles of these creatures. And done by Inforama, or for Inforama by Randy. And it's just really good. It's, you know, it's two colors, I think it looks like, maybe one.
Yeah.
But, man, that's good. So I sent you guys
a link. We saw it when we were at MondoCon.
And I couldn't. It was awesome. I just wasn't able to pull the trigger on it there. But I finally was able to get it, and it arrived this week. And it's just perfect. Like, it fits my style, fits the stuff I like. It's really good.
If you're not familiar with Randy Ortiz's style, you can just Google him. Or if you remember, if you look at our episode artwork from week to week, when we had Mitch Putnam on, our episode artwork was a drawing of Mitch Putnam by Randy Ortiz.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's beautiful.
So
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, that's it.
That's great.
It's like, just check out Randy's stuff, buy his stuff. And you can just go to, like, I got this one. If you want to see this print, Inforama, it's inforamaart.com, and just check it out. So,
not to be confused with info on Walmart.
Yeah, no,
that's different.
Not info on Walmart.
That's .com. That's a different website.
That's a totally different art, to look at.
Awesome. So who are you?
I'm
going
to throw it to Andrew,
because
I feel like Patrick's category is going to be
I feel like
a little bit of time.
Yeah, we'll bookend it on Patrick's category. So I got toys and games this week, and what a great week to get toys and games, because the highly anticipated, at least in my household, game that was announced way back in the summer. It's Nintendo's first partnership with Apple, their new Mario Run iOS game. And so have either one of you downloaded it yet?
I did.
Okay. Patrick, have you downloaded it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let me just start off with my review on this game, or my rating on this game. I give it a 10 out of 10. Because I think it is everything a Mario person wants in a totally new way. It's very familiar, but then there's all these new things that you can do. So a quick review of what the game is. You essentially play, it's a platformer game. You play, through worlds, and, you try to collect special coins. There's only 6 worlds. Each world is comprised of 3 levels and then a boss level. Very typical Mario styling of that. The difference is, you play through the level, and if you collect you have to collect 5 pink coins. If you collect all 5 pink coins, then the level changes. The basic layout of the level is the same, but they add bad guys and different obstacles, and you then have to try to collect, 5 purple tokens, in that same level. And if you collect all 5 purple tokens, then the level shifts again, and you have to collect 5 dark green tokens in order to complete the level. And so as you, continue to complete more and more things, you unlock more and more, I don't know how to describe it. The added element that this game has that no other Mario has, I guess I should say, that we got introduced to last year, with Mario Maker, is that you get to build your kingdom. And so you, as you level up the castle, as you level up, you get to purchase different buildings like toad houses and pipes and trees and fun stuff. Like right now they're doing a special thing with a Christmas tree and a snow globe with Mario, and you decorate and build your kingdom. And the more you play, the more you get to unlock, and it's super fun and it's cool. So the other added element is the toad rally, which is where you play against other players, and, you get points based on how many tokens you get, on how far you get in the level, and then how many special tricks you do. And so the entire game is played with one hand. It's a one-hander. Your Mario runs the second that the second that the level starts, he starts running, and you use one hand to tap to jump. You press and hold, and he jumps longer. He bounces off walls and all that stuff, but it's all with one hand. And so you play against other people around the globe to try to steal toads. I don't know how else to say that. You have to play it to figure it out. So there's all sorts of very, very fun, very cool new elements. But again, it's all within the confines of this world that if you're a Mario fan, you know so well. So what is your guys' thoughts on the game?
So number one, I personally enjoy the game. I'm a little bummed because I honestly don't need something that's this addicting right now. I'm still trying to make it through Candy Crush. It's hard to have a distraction. I can see where for me it's going to get a little bit too repetitive. That's the only thing. So like I'm probably like most people I've played the first three levels, and I've already done got the three sets of coins, like up to the black coins on the first level. I've done the first two sets on the next two levels, but I haven't paid the $10 yet. And to be honest, I don't know that I fully feel compelled to pay the $10 right now. So to
be clear what Patrick's talking about, you get the first, it's like crack. You get the first taste for free, and you get to play the first levels for free. And if you want to unlock all of the levels, you pay, you can either pay per level, or you can pay $10 to unlock the whole thing, to unlock the whole game, or something like that.
Why wouldn't you just pay $10? It makes no sense not to. But
yeah,
but my thing is, because I have the addiction in Candy Crush, which I revealed last week, I don't know that I can take another. Like, I don't know that it fills a different space for me. I think
no, it definitely fills the same. That's the same game hole that it would fill.
Exactly.
The only difference would be if you were really committed to Mario, you would maybe make the jump. If you were like, oh, finally something on my phone that I can have connected with Mario.
I have enough invested in an already like time sink of a like repetitive game that I don't need another one.
Yeah, I get that. What about you, Luke?
So I was super excited for it. Mario on my iPhone. It sounded awesome. And then I expected it to be like $5 or $10, and it came out as free. It was available as free. I was like, oh man, that's even better. Sweet. Played through it, liked it, and then it was like, okay, $10 to continue. And
bait,
I was like,
switch.
Nope.
Yep.
Forget it. I'm out. Like, I hated that. I absolutely hated that. And I didn't like the game enough to pay. So here's the thing. I would say I would have been more happy if I would have had to pay for it up front, but at the same time, I would have been mad then because I wouldn't have really liked the game. I probably would play the game more if I had paid for it, because I would have felt like, you know what, I need to play this because I paid for it, even though I don't necessarily enjoy it. But
I get that. To be fair, I was not instantly in love. I was not instantly in love. It took a handful of levels for me to get through to be like, oh, okay, to realize the replayability of it. Because in my head, I thought, oh, okay, I beat it in the first day.
Yeah.
I beat all the levels and beat Bowser in the first day. I'm like, okay, now what do I do?
Right.
Once I realized like the kingdom building element of it,
so I still I don't realized get that. How much. So that there's an element of that. No, I see it. I mean, I've seen pictures of it. I understand what it is. I don't understand what it does other than just looks different.
Like, it unlocks new characters for you to play as. You can only unlock certain characters after you've built certain buildings for them to live in.
That makes sense. Because at first I was like, well, I don't care about what my kingdom looks like.
Right.
And so I don't know if so you guys both have sevens and you're playing on sevens. I have a 6S with it, which is not, you know, it's just the next model back. there are certain spots that I was playing that felt not as responsive as they should be. Like when I was tapping on a jump or holding a jump, like it wasn't, I don't know if I was doing something wrong. It just didn't feel like it was working as well as I thought it would. And so I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues with that. Maybe it is a phone issue.
It's possible. I have no idea. Maybe it's just me. Who knows? But along with what Patrick said, I mean, I already play Clash Royale and I've been playing that forever. Or since it came out. Yeah. This is just another game, and it's not better than that for me. So I'm not gonna pay.
So I'll say this: I don't play games on my phone typically.
Sure.
So this for me is that game hole.
Sure.
That feels like that. Oh, okay. Something else for me to do besides check Slack or Instagram while I'm in the bathroom. and this does that, and it's Mario, and Cooper and I both love Mario, so sure. We can play totally the game different. Together, and yep. it's fun. And so anyway, I rank it very high. The graphics look incredible. It's totally the world of Mario in a different way. So if you like it, pick it up. Just know that you can get a taste of it for free, but it will cost you $10 to play the whole game. So there you have it. All right, Patrick, take us home, buddy. I believe you had Master of Delicious Tasty Foods.
Yeah, absolutely. So this week is a Tom Ford directed film called Nocturnal Animals. So Nocturnal Animals features Amy Adams, Jake Gyllenhaal. What, have y'all not seen this film yet?
Nope.
Yeah, isn't that the one that everyone in America has gone to see this week?
So you don't want to talk about Michael Shannon as Bobby Andes right now, or Andes?
I mean, I feel like maybe we could do that later.
Okay, does he ring a bell?
Okay, so let's let me put this one to the side, because I did see another film, and in fact, not only did I see another film, I literally got out of it just a couple hours ago. So
fresh.
You remember the story, bought the tickets, and then I found out I had a work party that night. So I bought out a whole row of a theater, had to then just sell, give away, return tickets, which was a bummer. And I didn't get to see it over the weekend. And so thankfully tonight, I got a chance to go see Rogue One for the first time. So Rogue One is the sequel/prequel the newest of the Star Wars story, and it follows Jyn Erso and Jyn Erso and Cassian Andor, along with another crew, and in kind of them fulfilling their mission. So I just saw this film tonight again a few hours ago, and let me say this, y'all know this again, I am not the biggest Star Wars buff. I almost want to say I'm not a Star Wars fan. It's not that I'm not a fan. It's not that I don't enjoy the movies or anything like that, but it's not a world I've ever really tried to live in. It's not something I've ever really tried to fully understand beyond just like a passing enjoyment. So I'm not exactly bringing a perspective of, like, frankly, what seems like the average person. Again, we're introduced to a cast of characters.
Are you going on record as saying you're below average?
I would, yeah. So let me just, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a brief overview, and then we're obviously going to transition to spoilers. We're going to try to keep this pretty brief, because I know this episode's going to get pretty deep if we don't. But we're introduced to a cast of characters. So I had obviously seen the previews to the film, and I wasn't sure how much I would enjoy everybody. I mean, even in the last film, you're just being kind of reintroduced to old friends. And so it's easy to get on board with what's happening because you know these people. It's like someone reintroduces you to your father you haven't seen in a few years, and then you're just depressed and angry. No, but I mean, like, you know the person. Like, you understand the person in their motivations and things like that. You have context for them. But this episode, talking about Jyn and Cassian and, like, even, like, K2SOO or you know, any of these people, or Saul Guerrera. These aren't people that you know or that you understand. These aren't people that you're sure if you can relate with yet. And so there's a portion of the film that's learning whether or not you can trust these people. And in the previews, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get on board with this new crew. And let me just say that I absolutely 100% did. I was surprised how much I enjoyed this film, especially given the reviews. I mean, we all see reviews. It's incredible how much reviews can shape a film, even a film we haven't seen. And we all know that this film's been sitting somewhere in the 80, probably low to mid 80% range. And generally people saying it is a good film, but not necessarily the same caliber of what we've already seen. And so that was kind of coloring my view going in. Let me just go ahead and say that this is it may be my favorite film in the Star Wars universe, honestly. And I know that that's not going to be a popular opinion necessarily. And I know that someone that is, you know, more studied than I am will feel differently. Genuinely, I absolutely love this film. You know, I would sit back down right now and start watching it again. So I was a huge, huge fan of the movie. Probably the best sci-fi movie that I've seen this year. I would definitely put it over Arrival, which was the last one I talked highly of. So that's my opinion. Andrew and Luke, naturally, let's hear your opinion and then let's jump into spoilers.
Luke, go first.
Yeah. So, I mean, Star Wars is like very, very special to me. Growing up with the name Luke in the 80s, that's your go-to. I heard Luke, I am your father more times than I can imagine or remember. But so,
all from different men.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So, yeah, I mean, I was excited to see this. And I will say, before we go too much farther, you had mentioned it as an episode. I think we need to be very clear that it's not an episode. It's just a story to support all the episodes.
I'm going to go on record saying I didn't say episode.
You did.
But we'll have to listen to the playback.
Okay, we will. Anyway.
I was literally telling myself the whole time, don't say episode. So if I did say that, that was my subconscious or something
Been. It's not a big, like, you know, it needs to be said, but it's not a huge deal. It's
what
not
you're like saying is, yet. What you're saying is, Timothy, don't reach out.
Right. We get know. It, Timothy. So I had high expectations going into this and seeing like, okay, what does this look like for them to tell a Star Wars story outside of these episodes and how does it work and how does it feel in this world? I didn't look up anything going into it. I didn't read any of the books leading up to it. I didn't read any, you know, I tried to stay as far away as I could so I can go in clean. It was very strange. As it started, it definitely felt different than Star Wars. But I loved it. So after the movie, it's easily number four for me. I think the 4, 5, and 6, the original trilogy, are still special. But this is my fourth favorite Star Wars film. It's just great. It's incredible. It's a good, like, just start to finish movie. You don't need anything else to it. I can talk more on that after we get into spoilers. But I loved all of the characters. I found myself having a little bit of a hard time trying to get to know them or care about them because of what I knew from the rest of the world. Which is very different than what you just said, Patrick, but I think it's because you aren't as invested in the world as, you know, admittedly most people are. But overall, absolutely loved it, and it's fantastic. So, yeah, that's mine initial.
All right, so I'll round this out. Yeah, I mean, if I was going to place it, I probably would put it... And I don't know why. I just feel like putting it number four. I'm not saying this is nothing to do with what you said, Luke. But putting it number four does it a slight injustice. Even though I recognize there are now 8 movies to choose from. So putting it number four is still fine and that's still good. But I would just say 3. Just because I felt like it was so... And I don't know what the order is. I know that Force Awakens was incredible for me. And then put one of the other ones in front of it. Let's do Empire Strikes Back. No one will get mad at me about that because that's the most beloved Star Wars film of all time.
So do you?
And then I think this one. Just because I like the new characters that also they tell their own story. This is what I liked about Force Awakens. They tell their own story, but then they support and they call back to in so many ways and piece together these other stories that we all know and love and we've grown up with. So I think that the director did an incredible job. I agree when the movie started, and we won't go into any of it, but when the movie started, I expected something and I didn't get that something. And then I thought instantly, oh, this is going to be different. It reminded me, this is not a Star Wars episode. This is something different. But it was like not unlike the Mario game that I talked about earlier. It's something very familiar, but done in a different way. And I love that. I really, really liked it.
So before we jump in, out of 10, golly, I'm going to be honest, guys. This was like a